Ephesians chapter 2 together. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation for which ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Verse 8. For we were once darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You can see that there are six walks that I have read in the book of Ephesians. I want to spend just a fair amount of time discussing a few other things about Ephesians first, before I come actually to my topic of walking. The book of Ephesians is quite often divided up as the first three chapters in which we have the wealth. And by that, let's look at verse 7 of chapter 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. A while back I looked at this verse, and we all know that it's according to the riches of his grace. But I meditated highly upon it. I've heard many of them speak upon it. I'm kind of a different person. It has to really sink into me in a simple sort of way before it comes home in deep. In whom we have the redemption, the purchase price, the price that was paid by our Lord and our Savior on Calvary's tree to redeem us back to himself, and therefore we stand on redemption ground, the price that was paid in full. Those of us that know the Lord, we know about redemption. The price was paid to set us free. Through his blood, the precious blood of the Lamb without spot, without blemish, the one that there is power in, cleansing power, to remove my sins as far as east is from the west and never to be remembered. The forgiveness of my sins. Only Jesus Christ was capable of forgiving me sins because he paid the price. The pure, spotless Lamb of God with whom no guile was found in his mouth. But here comes the sticker, according to the riches of his grace. It was not according to the quantity nor the quality of my sins. Not according to the quantity nor the quality of my sins, but it was according to the riches of his grace. The first three chapters of Ephesians is about our wealth, our riches in Christ. My natural state of me would like to say that it was according to Bill's terrible sinful acts that he did. There's a scripture that says, this is a worthy saying. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I liked the last part of it, the next part of it, of whom I am chief. In order for me to be saved and look at myself, I had to see myself as the chiefest of sinners. Therefore, one time I heard two brethren speaking at a conference, and one said, the greatest miracle that ever took place was the day that God raised Jesus up out of the ground. And I was a young convert. I'd just gotten saved. And I had that old pumpy self in here. The buttons was having a hard time staying on my shirt. I said, no, the biggest miracle was the day that Bill Shane got saved. How wrong I was. How wrong I was. The greatest miracle that ever took place was the day that Christ rose from the grave. Given the power by the Father to be raised up. What a thing that is. Raised up from the dead. So therefore, it wasn't according to Bill's quantity nor the quality of his sins, was it? It had nothing to do with it at all. It was according to the riches of his grace. It takes a little while for me to kind of learn some things. And each and every one of us, it does. And some learn it faster than others. But here, I opened up this verse. And it's according to the riches of his grace. I know I was saved by grace. I knew I was in the big pool of sinners. We heard that. There is no difference. Romans 3, at the end of verse 22, the last five words. Brother spoke on in the gospel. Sins being no different than the one that's in prison or wherever it may be. Had they spoke that to me when I was a young man, I probably stuck my fist up and been ready to fight, got the old Irish temper, and I'd outside the door, let's go. I wouldn't have taken it very well. It took the Lord to humble me, to see my place. That I was a sinner. And he did that to each and every one of us. And he picked us up when we were down low. Out of that miry clay, and he set our feet upon a rock. And he established our goings. But not only that, he set us in the heavenlies. All in one motion. Boom, boom, boom. We have riches in Christ. Verse 18 of chapter 1. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. Chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Verse 16 of chapter 3. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might and by spirit in the inner man. Back up to verse 8 of that same chapter 3. Unto me, who am the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The first three chapters are about our wealth. It's about what Christ has done for us. What God has done for us. The last three chapters, chapters 4 and 5, and then chapter 6, are about our duty and our responsibility. When I read the six verses on walking, one of them was in chapter 3 and sets apart from the other five walkings. The other ones were in chapters 3 and 4. And so we see a final chapter in chapter 6 in our armor that we put on for the war, a spiritual warfare. Let's just turn over to that part of it just a minute. If we look at that, and I could take time of going down through it, it begins in verse 11 about putting on the armor. And it goes down through it. I want to emphasize one thing that is different in there. And that's verse 15. For the young ones, I want you to look at that verse real hard for a minute. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It doesn't say you're to put your shoes on, does it? It says that you're already shod the minute you got saved. I had a pony at a young age. I had horses all my life until 99, when arthritis was so bad I could no longer hardly get up on them and ride, and I moved to town. To have a horse shod means to put the shoes on the feet with nails, and they're put on there. I want to tell you a little secret about your shoes. You never need another pair. They don't need resoled. You can't wear them out. Nobody says you can't use them. That can't stop you from using them. You were divinely shod with a gospel pair of shoes. Divinely shod with a gospel pair of shoes. And your Lord and Savior expects you to use them because it cost him a price to put that pair of shoes on your feet. You can polish them. You can study hard. I hope you got a lot of scars and scratches on them. I hope you got a lot of scars and scratches on your shoes. You were divinely shod. The moment you got saved, it's going to last you all the way through a lifetime. And when you go down through that armor, you've got helmets. You got shields that we could all lock together in unison and make a wall in front of us. You got breastplates. You got girdles. Nothing for your knees. Nothing for your knees. It's a spiritual warfare. You're to be on your knees praying. You're wrestling against not people, but Satan inside of them. Satan inside of them. Just touching on a few highlights. Now, I'd like to look and come right back to this in a minute, but I want to read Psalms 1 and 1 together. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsels of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's written in the negative. Blessed is the man that does not. Instead, blessed is the man that does the correct thing. Okay? Blessed is the man that does not do these things. He doesn't walk, he doesn't stand, he doesn't sit. And that's the verbs that I want to pull out of there. Walk, stand, and sit. If you don't do what it tells you here, you're blessed, okay? Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And he has raised us up together and let us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now we have one of the three verbs, sit. Back to verse 4, chapter 1, which I read earlier. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation for which you are called, walk. The one we just read a minute ago in chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have sitting, walking, and standing. And I said to you a little bit, and I really mean it. Sometimes it's really hard for me to grasp, and I think the wrong way. And the Lord thinks different than I do, and I have to read His Word and study it hard. For me, I can go out there and I'd want to fight the devil first. I'd want to get on my armor and go out there and stand up against him. And then I would come back and I'd want to walk the walk. That if by chance I was walking the walk right, then I could get to sit in the heavenlies. That's kind of the human way of thinking of it, isn't it? If we had any way of thinking of it before we were saved, that's probably the way we would have thought of it. It's kind of the natural way to think of it. That's not the correct way, is it, at all? God says, I'm going to place you first in the heavenlies and let you sit there. I'm going to place you first in the heavenlies and let you sit there. And show you all the love and all the riches and all these things I've given you, and that's placing you in the heavenlies. We're in the heavenlies now, currently sitting in the heavenlies with our Lord and our Savior spiritually, aren't we? We've been hearing about being fully equipped. We're talking about His grace. We're talking about His mercy. All of this that He has done for us in our riches and our wealth that we have in our Lord and our Savior, we're now currently sitting. And then we can walk with Him. And as He would have us to do. And in the walks that has been prepared for us ahead of time, before ordained. And we'll see that walk separate from the angels, okay? And then we can put on the armor and we can stand. He takes it in the other order. Now, I'd like to go back to chapter 1. I want to cover just a little bit more. I told you I was going to be pretty strong on a little bit here before I get into the walking. Okay? Verse 3. Blessed be God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places where we're sitting. We're rich with those spiritual blessings. He's blessed us. Number one. Verse 4, He has chosen you and He has chosen me. Verse number 5, we have been adopted. When I moved to my farm in 86, I think it was, give or take a year or two, I think there was 10 apple trees out there. And they were all old apple trees and looking pretty sad. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll start reading about apple trees. And I got a book. And I could have bought this one apple tree that had engrafted in it 4 or 5 other kinds of apples. I could have got a Jonathan in there, and I could have got a Granny Smith, and I could have got a Whitney, and I could have got a Delicious, and all that in one apple tree and grafted in. And that was about the time I was studying this, adopted. And I said, oh my, He's taken the root, the stem, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you take the knife to the tree, and you cut a little slice, and you cut a little branch off, and you point it, and you stick it down in the slice, and you tie around it, and you wrap it, and pretty soon it's growing out of there. And this one little stem will produce all these different kinds of apples. And click, click, Bill's thinking, oh, I've been engrafted into His family. I've been adopted into His family because of Jesus Christ. I'm going to skip verse 6 for a minute. Verse 7, I've been redeemed. We talked about that, didn't we?
So we've been blessed, we've been chosen, we've been adopted, and we've been redeemed. I skipped verse 6 for a moment. Verse 6, to the praise, that's what it's to, of the glory of his grace, through which he has made us accepted in the beloved. You've probably heard accepted in the beloved a lot. If you haven't, it's a beautiful verse. I want to emphasize in my crude little way about accepted. I am no more accepted today than I was 37 years and 9 months ago, I think it figures out to be. My brother Al had over 50 years. My brother Jim had over 40, but Bill's got about 30, just short of 38. December 23rd, 1971. I was accepted in the beloved. I will be no more accepted in the beloved the day I die than the first day nor today. I'm 100% accepted. 100% accepted in the beloved. I'm going to read a little piece I wrote down out of a book. If he gave his son for me, then he must love me as greatly as he loves his son, or he never would have permitted his son to die for me. Brother Don gave out hymn number 27 in the back of the book. Grab your book so fast. Right in the back, hymn number 27. Saturday morning. And we're singing down through the hymn. We get down to verse 4. Hymn number 27 in the back in verse 4. So dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be. The love wherewith he loves his son, such is his love to me. The minute we sang that hymn, I was smiling from ear to ear. He loved me as much as he loved his son, or he never would have put his son on Calvary's tree to die. I have 3 sons, 6 children. I couldn't put one of my sons on Calvary's tree for somebody I didn't know, a sinner. But our God did it for us. Therefore, we are accepted in the beloved 100%, the same as his son. Do you know what I've been enjoying in today? I've been enjoying it for 3 days. I've been looking around the room. I've been talking to elderly people, young people, helped take fishing a line off of one of Mark's kids that was all mixed up over there. Talked to a brother here and listened to him tell me about some scriptures and different things. Talked to a sister to let me tell about her family. We're all accepted in the beloved the same amount. Every one of us, the same amount. 100% accepted. That's the beautiful thought. It keeps unity when you look at us in equality as far as being accepted. There's not one more accepted in this room than I am. There's not one less accepted, and our Savior's accepted the same amount. What a beautiful thought that is. Have you ever seen a child that cuts their wrists and leaves scars? They don't think enough of themselves. There may be someone here that reached that point before the Lord picked him up. If we look at this verse and see ourselves 100% accepted, we can accept ourselves. And if I can accept myself, I can accept my brothers and sisters. And any time that my eye or my thought starts to go wrong, I need to pray about it, that it gets cured right inside of here. Because each and every one of you that know the Lord are accepted the same as I am. No level higher or lower. Exactly the same. Now let's get to our topic. There's not many minutes left. I don't want to take too long, but I got to get it done. Verse 2 and 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Look over at verse 11. According to the eternal purpose. Before ordained out of our verse. I don't want to get into predestination election, okay? I don't have the time. I want to cover my verses. Before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to put a title on this one, okay? It's a selected walk or prepared walk that he has ordained. He has decided, according to his eternal purposes, that we will be in that walk. No choice in it. He decided. We are his workmanship, and he's working a good work in us. He's working a good work in every one of you young ones. And everybody in here, till the last day we die, he's working a good work in us. And we're his workmanship unto good works. There's where we're walking. Unto good works, aren't we? In Christ Jesus. And God before ordained, he decided in his eternal purposes that every saved person on the face of the earth that becomes part of the body of Christ, in that category, that group of sinners saved by grace. He says, it's my eternal purpose, and I've decided this, that you will walk in this walk because you're my workmanship, and I'm working in you a good work. Sometimes I speak on pleasing God. And sometimes when I get deep into the subject, I sit there and I look at this, and we're his workmanship created. When I first got saved, my cousin gave me a book. It's from 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And in that book, it used a term, man made anew. Man made anew. Old things are passed away. He is taking this new creature, this new creation, that the sins have been forgiven, that's accepted 100% in him, and he's working a workmanship in us to good works. He's doing with us what pleases himself, what he wants to do, what he has before ordained before the foundation of the world in his eternal purposes. My children, Troy and Christine, are 34 years old. They're twins. And I can remember when they first became time that they could hardly talk. And Troy learned this verse. And he had a very hard time saying creature. And he got up and he stood up. We've been hearing about one that stood up and went blank. My son, Troy, stood up and he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everything that we do sometimes comes home to us in a different sort of way. We can remember those precious moments that the Lord has shown us in our children. We can remember verses and plaques that were on our wall. And that's where I got saved, through Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. If I had anything to say to any young family in here, if you got children, go and buy the biggest plaque you can with the biggest, boldest letters that's a gospel verse and hang it in the most prominent place in your house. Because if it hadn't been for that verse, I'd have never gotten saved. I didn't have a Bible and I hadn't been under the Word of God for 12 years, even though I was raised in a Christian home. And all I could remember was every time I laid on the davenport and I was sick, I looked up, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest it mention boast." Hanging on my parents' wall. We're a new creation. And He wants us to walk, or He has ordained that we walk in this walk. He has decided it's His eternal purposes. All the other walks are in verses 4 and 5, which are outside, and they're our duty and our responsibility. In other words, we should walk in them, or we ought to walk. O-U-G-H-T. Should or ought to walk, okay? I could have gotten the Holy Spirit on that, and I don't have time. A walk that is suited to our calling. A walk that is worthy of our calling, and a walk in unity. Let us walk together, brothers and sisters. Let us walk in harmony. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Paul, in beseeching, is begging of you. Our God-breathed, inspired word through Paul, God is saying, I beg of you, I beseech you, that you walk worthy of a calling. Whenever you're called from something and to something. From something and to something. Whenever we're saved from here and to something. We're delivered from here and to there. And Israel from deliverance from Egypt and to the promised land, etc., etc. And we've been called out of the world and unto Him. And that's the thought there. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And where does He come right in a minute? He's topic lowliness and meekness. Our Savior was low and meek, wasn't He? We are preserved in the Spirit. We sang a song this afternoon that had the preserved in it twice. And preserved was in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and around verses 16, 17, or 18. And if you look at the book Jude, the first verse, Jude 1, because there's no chapters, of course, when you get to it. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. We see in verses 4, 5, and 6 the spirit of Ephesians 4. And later on we see the gifts. Preserved, my mother always kept jams downstairs and jellies and pickles and tomatoes. And she made preserves and put them on the shelves. And anytime I was hungry and ran out of something, I wanted some raspberry jam, down the basement I went and got a jar. Mom had preserved it and spent the time doing it. Being preserved in Christ is our assurance. In my salvation, I needed assurance that I would be eternally kept. That's the thought of it. Eternally kept. I will never lose thee nor forsake thee. Preserved is my assurance. With that assurance, I can walk according to my calling. Because I know I'm preserved. Throughout the endless ages of eternity. I'm running out of time fast as usual. Verse 17. We have, don't walk like the other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. We have a walk in purity here. And a walk that is separated from the walk of others in this world that don't know Christ. A walk of purity and a walk separated. So we have a separated walk or a walk of purity. Look at verse 22. Just pick out these words real fast. Put off. Verse 24, put on. Verse 25, put away. Verse 26 says, be not angry. Let me change that to stand in awe. Just trust me on that. I'm short of time. Stand in awe. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Every one of these things, in order to walk in purity, to walk a walk separated, he has told us. He's told us what we need to put off. He's told us what we need to put on. He told us what we need to put away out of our mouth of speaking lies and everything. He's told us to stand in awe or reverence like the Old Testament. Reverential trust and fear of the Lord. Holding the God so high and so pure that we stand in awe of Him. Stand in awe of your God. And sin not. Neither give place to the devil. I heard a sister come over and say to Brother Mark, I hope it's all right, sister, I can repeat it. Your mother said something 36 years ago that stuck to me. Your mom said, keep life simple. Isn't that beautiful what mothers tell? My mom said to my kids, God created your body, created you pleasingly in His own sight. You don't need to put tattoos on it. You don't need to do all kinds of things to try to get attention and change yourself. If one's on there, that's all right. If that happened before you saved, just have to. But what she tried to portray to my children was that when God created you, He created you pleasingly in His own eyes. That ties in with you seeing yourself accepted. That God created you the way He wanted you. And it pleased Himself. And He's accepted you and saved you. And He loves you. Okay? Walk in purity. Put off, put on, put away, stand in awe, and neither give place. Not as the other Gentiles were the unsaved. Last couple minutes, we got sacrificial walk. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet smelling savor, one that rises up to His nostrils. If you walk in love, a sacrificial walk, it's going to rise up to Him as a sweet-smelling savor. Be ye therefore followers, intimidators. First thing I noticed when I come down here, Southern accent, beautiful. Little boys talking like their dads, dad probably talking like their dads, like their grandpas. Once in a while, you might catch me with a little roll on the R. A little Irishman in me. Talking like my father talked. And if you come to Iowa, you'll probably hear W-A-R-S-H-E-D, washed in the blood. Yeah. Intimidators, or excuse me. Yeah. Say it again. Imitators. There we got it. Imitating the same as their fathers. Be ye therefore imitators of God. What a thought, isn't it? As dear children, just like little children. A lot of you like your moms, maybe. Like your dad. Like your grandparents. You know, when we look at brothers and sisters, what we need to do? We need to pick out the good qualities in them. A little paraphrasing on this, but Jesus said about his disciples, they shall be known by their love. It didn't say Jesus said that those disciples would be known about how well they can find fault and pick things wrong with everybody, does it? They'll be known by their love. And that's what our verse says. Walk in love. I can look at one brother and say, that brother is very, very good at the gospel. And I can say, this brother is very, very good at opening the door. And this brother is very, very good at giving out a hymn. And this one's very, very good at praying. And this one's very good at recognizing when I need a hug. And this sister might bring you over a dish to eat. And this couple might invite you to their house. Can we find the good in one another and walk in love? It's easy to find the wrong. 1 John 4:4-8. God is love. God is light, and God is truth. All found in 1 John. Next, we need to find a spirit-filled walk in verse 8. For ye were sometimes, I have once in my Bible. Over on the side I have the sometimes, it used to be there. Sometimes makes me think that in the past I only occasionally might have been in darkness, and that's not true. Once I was in darkness all the time. That's the thought. Once. Once I was in darkness all the time, but now ye light. Ye are ye the light, but now are ye light in the world. Used to be, but no longer. So now I am the light in the world. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness, truth. This is a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-guided walk. Spirit-filled and a Spirit-guided walk. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This is a walk of sincerity. What that means is that means that you walk carefully and with exactness, because that type of walk is a walk of wisdom, but as wise. There's two Latin words in that walk. And one of those basically is that you're looking around. Now they're looking around and seeing the way that we walk. The other thought of it is with precision and accuracy. Like one that would be walking across a tightrope wire from here to there. That's the Greek word. The other two Latin words are looking and around. It says that that walk, not as fools but as wise, is a mark of wisdom. Why? Verse 16, because life is short. The days are evil. Most of all, God has a plan in your life and my life. God has a plan in your life and my life. He has already decided in His eternal purposes one walk for us. Ephesians 2 and 10. The other five walks are walks that we should walk. And if we walk in them, it's going to come up as a sweet smelling savor to Him. We're going to please our Father. Walk in unity and walk in love. Walk in a spirit-guided walk. Walk in sincerity. May the Lord bless the reading of His scriptures today. I enjoyed the hymn 27 in the back of the book. Do you happen to remember, John, the melody you gave it out to? 27 in the back of the book, and we'll close. I'll pray and give thanks, and then we'll sing hymn number 27. Father in heaven, in the peerless and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our heads unto Thee. Father, may it humble me to walk as these walks. May there be little nuggets that we can take home from this meetings here together in the last 3 days. May the sisters be like Him.